All right, it is 9 a.m. on May 12, 2020. This is a time and date scheduled for a pre-hearing conference in the case on the application of Northern States Power Company. This is PSC case number PU-19-310, and it's OAH file number 2019-0344. Appearing for our pre-hearing conference this morning, on behalf of the applicant, Northern States Power Company, are attorneys Zev Simpser and Matthew Harris. And on behalf of the Public Service Commission is Special Assistant Attorney Generals Brian Johnson and John Hsu. My name is Judge Hope Hogan, and I have been designated as the procedural hearing officer for this hearing. This case is currently scheduled for a hearing on May 22nd, 2020. On May 7th, 2020, the Public Service Commission issued an amended notice of hearing to change the format of the hearing from an in-person hearing to a remote hearing to be held electronically. I scheduled this pre-hearing conference this morning to discuss any housekeeping pre-hearing matters or items that the parties might want to address, and then to answer any questions regarding the hearing procedure, just to make sure we're on the same page and to have things run as smoothly as possible on the 22nd. I will first note that I received yesterday a motion for admission pro hoc vice from Mr. Simpser requesting permission for Mr. Harris to appear pro hoc vice in this proceeding. I haven't thoroughly reviewed the motion yet, but assuming everything is in order there, I will grant that request. And so, just so the parties are aware of that, and that order should be coming out within a day or two. Mr. Simpser, you intend on calling two witnesses for the hearing, is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. Both of our witnesses will be the Excel employees who filed pre-filed testimony in this case.
All right. And Mr. Johnson, is the PSC is going to call a witness as well? Is that correct?
Yes, I believe we'd be calling Victor Shook, so just one witness.
Okay. Okay. So the PSC has held several remote hearings over the last couple of months. Mr. Simpser, have you been involved in any of those hearings yet?
I have not, Your Honor.
Okay. And I don't know if you guys have had discussions about how they've been operating those hearings, but and I've only done one, but the one I did, the meeting code and participation code and access code were provided to all the parties and the witnesses, and they were able to join the remote meeting platform. We asked that they mute their phones and microphones and cameras until they were testifying or speaking. And then the public was they're not participants to the hearing, but they are able to view the hearing platform online, and then they can provide testimony either through written comments or they can request to provide telephonic testimony by calling in, providing their phone number, and then we'll call them back when we get to that portion of the hearing. Mr. Johnson, is that how you envision this hearing operating as well?
It is.
All right. Mr. Simpser, did you have any questions regarding the format or the platform?
No, Your Honor. I think this sounds consistent with some other remote hearings I've been involved in other jurisdictions. I think for me, the biggest question just on conduct of the hearing is, what do we do with paper and exhibits and sort of building the record from that perspective?
Well, I certainly would like a hard copy of the exhibits if you can get me a hard copy. And Mr. Johnson, do the commissioners want a hard copy of the exhibits prior to the hearing?
I guess nobody's expressed preference to me. I know in the past hearings when other attorneys have provided an electronic form or pre-filed it in the case, that way they had access to it and could view it. That's been okay with most of them. So I guess I can reach out and see if anybody has a preference for a hard copy if they are okay with any sort of, or just an electronic copy.
Judge, this is John Hsu. With previous hearings, what we've done is we've just been working out of the docket. So we have had them all pre-filed, anything that was going to be an exhibit. And as we were going through the hearing, we would just refer to them in the from the docket number.
Okay.
And that's how they prepare at this point.
Okay. So it sounds like as far as long as the exhibits are marked and pre-filed and make it onto the docket before the hearing, that should be sufficient. But like I said, I'd like a hard copy, if that's okay.
That's no problem at all, Your Honor. Can you provide an address for a FedEx delivery so that way we can get those out to you at the conference? And then, Jack, one question to you. Have you guys just been relying on what's already been docketed, or do you want us to mark and resubmit exhibits?
I think it would be, well, I think in a couple of the cases we've just relied on what has been docketed, but it may be beneficial to resubmit them as exhibits. That way that'll be at the end of the docket list. It'll be easier to reference and it'll be the most recent number.
Yeah, okay, I concur with that.
And then,
just because we're also going to have the public, direct the public to the docket for copies of the exhibits, so I think it makes sense to have a marked copy part of the exhibit so they can find those exhibits easily as well.
So what I would propose, if this makes sense to everybody, is in my initial email to Judge Hogan, I identified what I think will be the exhibits in this case. Brian, if you concur with that list, we'll put together an exhibit list and we'll create hard marked copies of everything. We'll ship them over to Judge Hogan, and I'm happy to provide courtesy copies to whomever else may want them. And then we will file something with the commission. There are some trade secret documents in that package. So generally we don't email those over to the commission. Would it be okay if we just did a cover letter or something like that since it's already on file? Or would you prefer us to just ship hard copies of the whole exhibit package?
When you're saying shipping hard copies of the whole exhibit package, are you saying to the commission in itself?
Yes.
I think that can be all done electronically, except for the trade secret stuff, since we generally don't keep that in electronic format. So if you could send that separately in hard copy, that would probably be preferable. That way the commissioners can get access to it if they need it, the hard copies.
Gotcha.
But it wouldn't be floating around through emails.
I gotcha. Okay, that's easy enough to do. Just give us a couple of days to get everything in order.
Have the parties stipulated to the exhibits for the hearing? Is there any dispute on those?
No, we haven't discussed it, but there is no dispute from me.
All right. So the list in Mr. Simpson's email from Friday would be at least our tentative outline of the exhibits then for the hearing?
That's correct.
All right. Mr. Johnson or Mr. Hsu, I haven't asked yet, but the previous hearing I did, I appeared from the hearing room. Is that permissible if I do that again?
As far as I know, there would be no issue with that.
Okay. I thought that worked well. I I liked being and being able to communicate with the person setting up the meeting, just in case there was issues. So that would be my preference to appear from there. The only other thing I really noted from Mr. Simpson's email was an issue regarding some rebuttal testimony, and I don't know if that's something we need to discuss now or if that's an issue just to be addressed at the hearing. I'll start with you, Mr. Simpson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Generally, when we file pre-file direct testimony or rebuttal testimony, we provide an affidavit verifying the truthfulness of the testimony. Just because of logistical issues with everybody working from home, that was somewhat challenging to get stuff turned around. Talking to Mr. Johnson, we just filed it. We're happy to lay foundation, but if it's acceptable to Your Honor and Mr. Johnson, Mr. Hsu, I'm also happy just stipulating it into the record so it's over and done with. Just let us know how you'd like to handle that. But that's the only deviation from standard procedure that has happened because of the stay-at-home orders.
Was it just that the testimony wasn't attested to or signed?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, do you have a issue? I assume Ms. Shea is planning to testify, correct?
She will be our first witness.
Okay. So I assume she can just testify to the veracity of all the information in her written testimony. Do you foresee it being an issue, Mr. Johnson?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Are there any other issues the parties want to discuss this morning, Mr. Simpson?
The only other item I have is... traditionally, we've presented opening statements. I would expect Ms. Shea to have a very brief opening statement. We would certainly provide that to the parties at least a day prior to hearing. So that would be the only other item I have.
All right. Mr. Johnson, did you have anything further for this morning or anything you wanted to discuss?
Nothing further, nothing to discuss.
All right. Mr. Hsu, did we cover everything?
Just one thing, Judge. There is the application for trade secret protection out there. I know in the past some of the ALJs have granted the protection on the day of the hearing. I was just curious if that's the manner you were planning on proceeding or if there was something you're waiting for or if you were planning on doing ahead of time as well.
I didn't know about it till I got this email on Friday, so I can do it either way. I thought I saw in the docket that the commission had already granted the request for trade secret protection. Do you need me to issue something in addition to that?
Well, I apologize if I missed that. If the commission has already granted trade secret protection, then it's not needed. Brian, I know you were working on the trade secret protection. Was that one that you had worked on?
I think so, and I think I remember seeing in the docket. I can double check that.
It's number 13 in the docket. It was issued in December.
Oh, I apologize. I missed that. The only other thing, Judge, is just so you're generally aware, with these rate proceedings, staff is split into an advocacy and an advisory role. So in this case, Brian Johnson, Special Assistant Attorney General, was the advocacy staff, and I'm advising the commission in my role.
Okay.
On this. So it's a little bit different than, say, some of the formal complaints received in mining cases or in citing where all the staff is advisory.
Sure. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. All right. Go ahead.
Jack, just one question. Jack, are you expecting any material cross from advisory staff?
At this point in time, I haven't had the opportunity to speak with the analysts from advisory staff, but at this point in time, we aren't anticipating any sort of material cross.
Thanks.
But I'll be in contact, and if I do think that there's something that substantively that will be addressed, I will let the advocacy staff as well as the company know.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. Well, if there is nothing further, we will conclude our conference for this morning. I'll note for a record that is 9:15 a.m., and I thank everybody for making themselves available and hope everybody has a good day.